Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Being a student can be really, really expensive, depending on what you're studying, depending on whether you're living at home or living away, depending on whether your parents have set aside money to support you. So no surprise that many, many students need to find a part-time job, either while they're working or in the summer. And these days, where there is certainly a lot of demand for workers is in delivery. And so people, you know, pursue that as an idea. Hooray, great. But what should you know when it comes to your insurance? To talk about this, we are joined by Matt Hance. He's VP of Insurance for RateHub.ca, and he is in London, Ontario. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce, how's it going?
Great. You know, a lot of people have been the recipients of delivery services like DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, all that stuff. What does a person need to have in terms of a license and in terms of insurance in order to do that job?
There's two options when it comes to, you know, the gig economy, Paul, right now, when it comes to delivery. We have food delivery and we have ride sharing. Unfortunately, if you're someone who's younger, like we're talking about students, and you only have a G2, you cannot look at ride sharing, but you can look at services like Uber Eats. What you need to have is you need to be at least 19 years of age and a G2 license and a vehicle under the age of 20 years old.
The vehicle needs to be less than 20 years old.
Yeah, sorry. The vehicle needs to be less than 20 years old. Correct.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And if you meet those criteria, does your insurance company have anything to say about it, or is this just driving your car?
They always do. And it's important to keep them in the loop. First and foremost, because they consider this almost like a business use. So it's not simply now you're not just driving for personal use, you're now driving for business use. This is a way to make money. So now your vehicle is classified as somewhat commercial.
And so we're going to take the case that people are fully on board, they are on side, they are doing all the things. So they would pick up the phone, call their insurance company and say, hey, I'm going to be driving for DoorDash. What are the questions that that insurance company is going to ask in order to determine how that affects their policy?
For sure. And the things that I want to consider in these scenarios is, and this is where you'll decide if you can afford to do this or not, is are you a person that has a policy under yourself? What I mean, like it's your own personal policy. You have your own vehicle. It's not attached to anybody else. That's going to be much more costly than if you were listed as a secondary driver on, say, a vehicle under your parents, and you're just occasionally using it. So you may be a student, but you still live at home and you have occasional access to a vehicle. So these things will actually matter a lot and will affect the ultimate cost. But your insurance company, first and foremost, just wants to understand who's driving the vehicle, who will be doing the food delivery. So you being the student, you know, you're going to let them know, yeah, I'm the secondary driver, or I'm the primary driving, depending on your situation. And they're going to ask you, which company do you work for, or you're looking to work for. And now, unfortunately, that matters a lot, because not every insurance company extends coverage to all of the food delivery services. So
for example, why is that?
It really comes down to a lot of the food delivery services don't have a commercial policy that protects the driver when they're actually working for them. The only one that's really offering that is Uber. And they were the first to come out with it a number of years ago when they first got on the market. They built a pretty good comprehensive policy with Intact Insurance. And now they actually the master policies with Economical. But because they're offering some sort of protection, the insurance companies feel more comfortable, because if something happens while you're operating, while you're working for them, so you're within the app, either you're waiting for a delivery, you're on route, etc., then it, you know, there is somewhat protection underneath that commercial policy, where all other food delivery services classify you as an independent contractor, and it's up to you to have your own policy.
It has been so long since I was a young person buying insurance. It's been a long time. Like, I'm, you know, a dad and I don't drive my car very much. So I know what my insurance is, but for a 22-year-old male, and we'll say male because we know they pay more, what would that average amount be? And just give me a range. And then what would it cost to add business use? Is that an additional 20%? Is it an additional 50%?
It really depends. And to be honest, I was just running a few scenarios with our lead insurance broker just to kind of look at what somebody, say, driving in Toronto could expect. And it was quite costly. It even shocked me. If I was just a G2 driver and I had my own policy, I'm looking upwards of an $8,000 or $9,000 to have insurance. And then about, you know, another, like you said, 20% to be covered under the commercial use. So right away in my head going, wow, I don't think it's possible for me to drive enough for Uber Eats to make enough money to cover this back. As a secondary driver, it's much more palatable, and heck, the cost may not even be on you. You may be lucky enough that your parents are willing to pay for you to operate a vehicle, and you know, it's your opportunity to earn a little cash on the side. Then it becomes a lot more cost effective. Like for someone in Toronto, you know, it's significantly less, but half that. And then if you live, you know, in a more rural area or in a smaller city like a London, you know, it's going to be even cheaper than that. You may be looking at $3,000 to $4,000. It's still not cheap by any means. And it shocks me to think what my parents would think of now if they were trying to insure me. But the insurance industry is definitely a lot more expensive today than it ever has been.
Now, there are some people who hear that and they think, oh, well, I just won't tell them. What should they know? What should they know in terms of consequence? And they'll pretend like, oh, like I was only doing the DoorDash thing like once a month. It's no big deal. Or I did it, you know, 3 months ago and then I've stopped. Insurance companies do not take too kindly to those who omit and to those who outright lie.
100%. They hate the idea of misrepresentation of facts or, you know, outright lying and committing any sort of fraud. The consequences are at the light end, they're just going to, you know, decline and dismiss your claim. So, for example, if you were in an accident driving for Uber Eats and you had not told your insurance company, you may get a little slap on the wrist and they'll just say, hey, we get it. We know now we're going to adjust your policy, but we're not going to accept this claim. But they could take a harder stance and full on cancel your policy, which really impacts your ability to get insurance in the future.
We're doing another story on the show today about the surveillance that insurance companies can sometimes partake in on disability claims. How would they know if you were driving for DoorDash? You got in an accident, it's a fender bender. How would they even find out?
They may not. I mean, they do have their own claims investigation department, and I've heard some crazy stories about how they find when people are committing insurance fraud or how they uncover, you know, whether somebody is doing activities they claim not to be. You know, I don't want to, you know, guess too deep on how they're going to get there, but it's more what I'm trying to educate the public is it worth the risk to you? I mean, we know that there are many people out there that aren't telling the truth and they don't think that they have to because they think, oh, I'm just doing this part-time. I'm only doing this 1 or 2 days a week on the weekend to make a little extra scratch. Why do I need to tell my insurance company that I'm delivering food or, you know, I'm working for Instacart? But it really does matter because it is impacting the amount of time you're spending in your vehicle. It could increase the amount of kilometers you're driving annually, which is actually one of the main data points they look at when, you know, factoring your rate, because that just means that your vehicle is more at risk. You as the driver are more at risk to being involved in an accident, and it puts the company more at risk. So they just need to know, and it's just in your best interest to tell them.
You've delineated between G2 and Uber Eats. If someone is driving for Uber and they've got whatever license is required for that, what ballpark percentage increase would they see their insurance rate go up to?
So in that instance, at least you'd be a full G-class driver with 3 years of experience, because that's required by Uber itself. And then also that's most likely the requirements for that are in line because that's what the insurance companies are looking for as well. And if you're lucky enough to have an insurance company that's willing to insure you for Uber, you're going to see an increase as well. It's going to be listed as commercial. And to be honest, it's going to be in the similar range of what we were talking about with the Uber Eats. Now, like I said, the only difference is going to be you're a more experienced driver with a higher class of license. So your overall policy will be cheaper than if you were a G2 driver. So it's more a lot. So say, for example, you were paying $2,000 for your personal use vehicle with 3 years of experience in the full G-class license, and you're living in a town like, say, London. As soon as you decide to drive for Uber, it may increase your policy to, you know, $2,500 or, you know, $3,000. All depends on what type of vehicle you're driving and how often you're driving for them too. They may ask you, you know, how many times a day or how many times a week you are driving and what's your expected kilometer increase. So there's just many factors they're going to look at when they recalculate your policy cost.
You have horrified me by what young people pay for insurance. Just before
it scared me too.
I can't even imagine. What would you say are your top two or three tips for young people, aside from ensuring they do not speed or get into an accident? What are your top two or three tips that you'd offer young people on getting and maintaining the lowest insurance rates possible?
Well, the first thing is that when you're doing your initial graduated, driver's license program, take advantage of driver's training. That's a good way to get a discount early on when you're in your G1 and G2 phases. If you are an insurance company that offers telematics and you are a young person that thinks you can buck the trend and prove that you're a good driver and you want to drive within the limits of the road, telematics could be a good way to prove quicker that your driving experience is far beyond your perceived age, and that you deserve to pay a cheaper amount of insurance. And then lastly, to me, it's shop around. It's look at all the options and see what's out there for you. And if you're lucky enough to be underneath your parents' driving profile listed as a secondary driver, and that's true, and that you're only going to be using a vehicle occasionally, you're going to pay far less than someone else.
Really interesting stuff. Matt, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Matt Hands is VP of Insurance for RateHub.ca, and we were talking about how to think it through if you're a G2 license holder, whether or not it works, whether or not it pays out for you to take a side hustle using your car to make deliveries. It's possible, but boy, can be pretty expensive.